Mishnah Kuvav discusses the Malach of Seidon, records the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, exactly how far do you have to be sod the tzvi in order to be chayv. So the Chachamim say that if you sod a tzvi legina, you want to chayv. And Rav Yehuda disagrees only if you saw the tree labayit. What exactly is the machlokes? It's very unclear. So the Avnei Nezer has a suggestion that maybe the machlokes satana, maybe it's not just a machlokes in shir, maybe it's a fundamental machlokes regarding the definition of tzedah. Whether tzedah means that the animal loses its freedom, or tzedah means that the person who hunted the animal has control over the animal. So there's a possibility that the person does not yet have control over the animal, but the animal psychologically feels trapped and feels that it lost its freedom. So if he had sod tzvi lagina, it doesn't have the freedom to run around all over in the forest and on the highways and wherever deer run around. But the one who has taught it doesn't really have any control over it. So that's what the Avnei Nezer suggests. Maybe that is the machlokes. Yeah, but this is clear. Let's say there's an animal. Let's say there's a turtle. It's walking so slowly that it's a cinch to catch the animal. So then the Gemara says there's no... That doesn't constitute an act of seder. However you're going to define seder, that doesn't constitute a melacha of seder. If it's so easy to be tzadit, so the Gemara says that's not considered seder. What if you tzad an animal which is a balchai which is aimed at mina nitzoid? So this is a machloikis satana. And then the Mishnah Kuf Zayin. So we raise the question: what does it mean aimed at mina nitzoid? Emina Nitzad is Nikva at the time of Matan Torah, or it's Nikva in the days of the Tanoim, up until Shnei Alofim, the end of the Shnei Alofim Torah. Where the Chazon Ish pointed out, there's a concept of Shnei Alofim Torah. So this din is Nikva, the Shnei Alofim Torah, according to the Chazon Ish, ended about the time, the death of Rabbi Yudan Nozi, about the cutoff point between the Tanoim and the Amoraim. So that's when the din was Nikva, whatever was Yesh B'min and Nitzad at that time. It's called Seda and it doesn't change, or it should be assumed that it changes in every generation. If in our generation they're catching all balichaim in the world and everyone's making research on every kind of an animal, so everything becomes biminandit, so then maybe there's a melachah of Seda on all animals today. Maybe it doesn't change. I don't know. That's a very broad question. There are many dinim that Zman Kriya Shema, there's a tshuva in the Mishkan Tzedek, Zman Kriya Shema was nikva by the Chachamim based on the assumption that they didn't have electric lights, and most of the people stay up in the daytime and go to sleep at nighttime. So the shaila is, what if you have electricity? So the sleeping habits of the people are totally going to be different. It's not going to switch summer and winter, because in the summertime the sun is shining for a longer period of time, in the wintertime the sun shines for a shorter period of time. It's by us as lo malo al-mar. People don't even know when sunrise is b'chlau. So why should the sosma kriyishma still depend on how many hours it is after zvicha? That's the question. Does the din change because the habits of people change? Because the whole minhag olam change? Because you use electric bulbs? What do you say? No, the din stays the same. So we assume that the din stays the same with respect to zman kriyishma. That's what the Mishkan Es Yankiv said. They were not so convinced that that's correct. It could be in both directions, could be in Gansen off. That's a question. It's a general question. Now that question about Bishul. The Gemara says that Bishul Manatera with respect to Basa B'cholov, it's only Basa B'cholov Deraisa, it's Derech Bishul. If it's not Derech Bishul, then it's only Basa B'cholov Derabanan. And Basa B'cholov Derabanan is only also B'achila. It's Mutta B'Bishul and Mutta B'Anua. Basa b'cholav deraisa has all the three prohibitions: asa b'bishul, asa b'achila, asa b'anu. So, what if you cook something the klisheni? So, if we say klisheni ainim b'bashul. What if you cook something b'chama? Bishul b'chama doesn't count. B'toldas b'chama doesn't count. Only bishul b'eish or b'toldas. That's called bishul b'ur. Or Aleph Vav Resh is the same letters as Ur. The only difference is Ur means light and Ur means a fire. So Bishul Be'ur, Bishul Be'esh, or Betoldos Esh, that's Bishul Deraisa. With respect to Shabbos and with respect to Basa B'cholov, and the Gemara says with respect to Korban Pesach, Al Techel Menador, no, Bosham Mavushal Ba'amayim, Kim Tzliyesh, if a person cooks the Korban Pesach, Amcham Itzverya, so the Gemara says that the Inad Reiver on the Lav of Al Techel Menador, Bosham Mavushal, because Bosham Mavushal is only Bishul Be'esh. Amcham Itzverya is not the discussion in the Tanoim, in Perikira, is that called Toldos Esh, or is that called Toldos Acham? So that's the question, why is this so? That the definition of Bishul and Kol HaTorah Kulo, whenever there's a din in the Torah that depends on Bishul, namely Melachah Shabbos and Basa B'cholov and Korban Pesach, in all the three cases you have to have Dafket Bishul Beish, and the Chama, but told us Chama doesn't count. Why is that so? So Rashi writes in Perek Kira that it's ain't Dach Bishul B'Kach, that the reason why Bishul B'Chama, but told us Chama doesn't count because not Dach Bishul B'Kach. So that's a shalom. What about this man is that you have a Dud Shemesh, and many, many, many people are said it's a multi-million dollar business that they sell Adud Shemesh. Many, many people use this kind of a thing. So we're going to say that that's not Derech Bishul. This man has said that's not Derech Bishul. So Rav Moshe Feinstein and his Sefer, Rav Soloveitchik, both thought that this man has said if you use Bishul the such a Adud Shemesh, that would constitute a Melacha Deraisa on Shabbos, and that would be considered Bishul by Basa B'cholim and so on. It all depends on every generation. And others thought that it doesn't sound right. Others thought that we should assume the din was nikva sometime or another. Either the din was nikva bisman matan Torah, the din was nikva in the days of the Tanaim. Why should it be nikva in the days of Tanaim? That's the thought of probably along the lines of that Chazanish. Chazanish originally has it in his sefer with respect to Hilchos Treifos. So we have things in the days of the Tanaim were assumed to be trefa, and as man has said, there's nothing wrong with the animal. The animal can live normally. And the reverse also, you have things that as man and Gemara they considered ksher, and as man has said, the doctors say the animal doesn't stand the chance of living. So why do we still observe the laws of trefas as they say in the Gemara? If the Hilchos Treifos all depend on whether the animal is going to survive or is not going to survive, it should depend on what the doctors say in your generation. So the Chazanish suggests, based on the Gemara Avodah Zarah, that the Gemara says that there was a tradition among the Tanaim. Rabbi Kiva didn't know about that tradition. Rabbi Kiva thought that there was a strong possibility that Bar Kochba would turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. That's why he was nicknamed Bar Kochba. His real name was Shimon Bar Kuziva. And then they gave him the name Bar Kochba because Rabbi Kiva thought that all of Bar Kochba were Dorach Kochba Miyanki. He used to be a professor in Philadelphia. He claimed Bar Kochba. He claimed that the Bar Kochba letters were all a forgery because he signed his name Shimon Bar Kuziva, and Bar Kuziva means a shakran. Kozov. They gave him the nickname Bar Kuziva. His real name was Bar Kochba. They gave him the nickname Bar Kuziva when he turned out to be a Mashiach Sheker, that he wasn't the Melech HaMashiach. That professor was a Yodua Dike crackpot. Everybody always assumed that his real name was Shimon Bar Kuziva. Bar Kochba was the nickname. Not he always said Parker. But that's why he was famous for that. Everything was it from his stem. So Rabbi Akiva thought that there was a possibility that Shimon Bar Kuziva was going to be the Melech HaMashiach. So they told the other Tanaim told them it's not possible. Yalu Asavin Bilchayecha Vadain Ben David Leibo. They told him you're going to be dead and buried. Rabbi Akiva is going to die and he's going to be buried. And grass is going to be growing on top of his cheeks. How do they know for sure that Mashiach isn't going to come during the lifetime of Rabbi Akiva? Why were they so positive? So the Gemara says because the other Tanaim had a tradition that the world is going to last for 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years are called Tohu, before there was any public learning of Torah, public teaching of Torah. The next 2,000 years, Shnei Alofim Torah, starting from the time that Avraham Avinu reached the age of 52 and he was preaching Hanefesh Asherosa B'choron. He was preaching monotheism, and the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that we have a tradition that that pasuk Hanefesh Asherosa B'choron, the public preaching of monotheism, began when he reached the age of 52, and that lasted for 2,000 years Shnei Alofim Torah. And then after the year 4,000, the Bria Soilam, the next 2,000 years that we're in now is the possibility of Mashiach coming. Rabbi Akiva with Shimon Bar Kochba, that was before the 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach even began. He was still, when was that? That was about the time that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died, approximately. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died around the year 220. And then the year 240 corresponds to the year 4000 of Bria Solo, according to the calculation that we make. Maybe the calculation is a little off. Okay, they're not going to be off more than 100 years. Shaila is how long the Bai Sheni lasted. The whole calculation that we make, that this year is Tovshin Samachei, 5,765 years of Bria Solom, is all based on the assumption that this statement that the Gemara gives is correct, that the Bai Sheni lasted for 420 years. Bai Tzvishin lasted 410 years, that's in Tanakh. Bai Sheni lasted 420 years, that's in the Gemara. And the historians think that it's not correct, that it's off by at least 100 years, between 100 and 200 years. That's a shaila in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. The Baal HaMoar writes that we all know that the cheshbon of the Gemara is off, because in the Goyish history books, these different kings are different people, and each one ruled after one after the other after the other. The Gemara says all these people were the same king. There are 10 names there, and the Gemara says they're all the same person. Baal HaMoar says, you look in a Goyish history book, these were different people, and each one ruled after the other one, after the other one. So the Gemara lost over 100 years. So the Baal HaMoar says, it's a davar yadua that the Gemara has a mistake. And the Ravid, who learned the Chavrusa, but then Baal HaMoar says, is an apikaris? What kind of talking is that? What do you mean? The Gemara is right, and the history books are wrong. And that's an ongoing debate. And, before the Second World War, many rabbonim said in Europe that the Gemara is wrong. Sure, the history books are right, the Gemara is wrong. The Chazadish thought that maybe the history books are wrong. Maybe the Gemara is more accurate. That's a question. So even if you should assume that it's not the year 220, not the year 240, so it's going to be off, but it's going to be roughly around that season, approximately that time. So Rabbi Akiva was before that period of time. So that's why the other Tanaim told him that they don't think it's yet the time for the Bias HaMashiach. Mashiach is only going to come after the year 4000 of Bias HaMashiach. They thought that it wasn't yet time. So that's the Shaila. What's the significance of this Shnei Alofim Torah? So the Chazon Ish thinks that it's a halachic principle, that the dinim had to be nikva. The dinim had to be, whenever you kovei adin, the din has to be nikva during the period of the Shnei Alofim Torah. So whatever din was nikva at that time, based on the science that was available to them at that time, that's the way the din remains. And Hilchos Treifos, even though today we assume certain facts are not in correspondence with what it says in the Gemara, so the Chazanish says, he thinks the din stays the same because the dinim were nikva by the Tanaim who lived in the Shnei Alofim Torah. Yeah?
In regards to
Shibos,
do we have any closeness whether or not it has anything to do with animal dying at all?
Yeah. Yeah, the Gemara says there are two types of treifus. There's a treifus that's halacha l'moshe misinai, that's a machlekes hatanoim, whether that has necessarily to do with the fact the animal is going to vaday die or not. Most of them are going to be sickly. And then there's another kind of treifus, the Shev Shmeitzer. The Shev Shmeitzer is the name of a book that was written by the author of the Ktzais HaChoshen, but the Shev Shmeitzer is the expression appears, because he has seven sections to his statement. Each section has many chapters. But Shem Shmeitzer is a term that appears in the Gemara in the beginning of the first daf in Elu Treifus. There were seven members of the Amoraim where they declared that seven animals are treifus, even though they don't correspond to the halachas l'moshe misinai, because they said that based on the scientific knowledge, this animal is so diseased it's going to die. And even the others that are halacha l'moshe misinai, even we assume that if I lock it up and it survives for 12 months, it's still a treif, it's still also, we pass can basically treif achaya. But still, it means that it's a sickly animal. So there are certain descriptions of treifus that appear in the Gemara that are not even considered sick at all. They can live for more than 12, way more than 12 months. They can live amer yesum shalom, like any other normal animal. So that's a problem. That's what the Chazarish and many others, they wrote books about this topic. How does it correspond with the science of our time? So the Chazon Ish does not have to correspond. If in the days of the Tanaim, that was the science that was available to them, so in their time the dinim were nikva. It's a big issue.
Can Rosh Hashanah just clarify, when you quote Rosh Hashanah in our salvation by the temple official changing based on what's now their official, do you see that as a machlokes on the Chazon Ish, or do you see that
people just an exception? I don't know. It's a very broad topic. The summit applies in each one of the 613 mitzvahs. I just gave a few examples. Zman Kriya Shema and Bishul and Tredes. There must be another 600 examples in every area of halacha. He spoke about tzitzis. We raised the issue. You only chayiv. Some of the rishonim say you only chayiv in tzitzis in a beged that you wear over your head, batifa, because that's the normal beged bizman matan Torah. The Torah was given in it by Sinai, so that was the normal beged. But the Torah speaks to us. Torah is only speaking to the Bnei Yisrael who were there at present at Maimon HaSinai. It's not speaking to us today about the begadim that we wear. It's only talking about the begadim that they wear. So that opinion is not really accepted. We're machmer for that opinion. We're choshish for that opinion. So when you say the brach of the sata batzit, see du atisha. Yeah, I don't know if they disagree. They don't disagree. You really need a lot of research. You have to look into each and every mitzvah to see.
By wearing the talit, you might have been at Har-Sinai. There were three schools that we got out of Mitzrayim, and that was wearing the dress that we didn't have era to start dressing, not the way that they were dressing in Mitzrayim, and change our dress. So, if you're going to be the dress, from then the front steer to what we're doing now, because some of what we're doing now shouldn't be okay. But I mean, we're doing it now, but
why not say the clothing that Bnei Yisrael wore at Har Sinai?
That's authentic Jewish dress.
That was authentic Jewish dress, and the non-Jews didn't dress like that.
It says by Amalek, each one of them had their own. You could tell who was from which nation by the way they dressed.
Yeah, like today also you can tell. The Chinese have their style. But yeah, the different nationalities dress differently. But doesn't mean that that's a din, that there has to be a special beggar that's miyuchad dafke for the Jews. The din of chukas sakmi, not allowed to dress like a nochri, means dressing their chritzas or something. So dressing has to do with avodah zara or something like that. But some, they just changed the style. Is that included in chukas sakmi also? I don't know. It's also an issue. It has to be worked on. Anyway, so this was a question. What's the din of it aim the mina nitzai? Does it depend on every generation, or do you say it's nikva bizman matan Torah, nikva bizman atanoi? I don't know. So we had a Mishnah in Kuvzayin and Melach, the first Mishnah in Shmang Shurasim. So the Mishnah says, Hatzodon the Torah chayv shalot the Torah pasuk. What does that mean? Hatzodon the Torah means hatzvi amloch hatzvich alagufa. Shalot the Torah pasuk. You saw the animals and you don't plan to use it, so then you're not chayiv. This goes, the Mishnah goes like Rav Shimon, that melacha shein tzvicha legufa doesn't constitute an issa deraita, it's only also the rabbana. So that's why pata means pata avalasa. Yeah. Rashi and the Mishnah puts together two concepts that Tesis is masig and Rashi. What did he mix together? Two different things. He says, if it's shalol tzorech pata, melacha shein tzvicha legufa, because that's what we mean when we say ein b'mina nitzah. So Tai says, what are you talking about? B'mina nitzah, ein b'mina nitzah, that's the type of the Baal Chai. If it's the type of a Baal Chai, ein b'mina nitzah, so we pass on that there's no tzedah derisa. Now the question is, for the type of Baal Chai that is b'mina nitzah, do you personally plan to use the animal that you would sort of? Do you not plan to use the animal? If you don't plan to use the animal, then it's an ein tzvichah l'gufa. So what does Rashi put together, these two unrelated topics of Malacha Shein Tzvicha Lagufa is not their Isa, and Ein B'mina Nitzah is not their Isa. The two unrelated topics. So that's what the Tesis was Masik on the Rashi, and they said the Rashi mixed together two different things. Yeah. So we mentioned that there's a Tesis Rid has a very unusual suggestion over here. He thinks that the machloikas hatanaim, Rab Shimon and Rab Yudah, regarding melacha shein tzvicha legufa, doesn't mean that I trapped the deer and I personally did it just for fun. I don't plan to use the deer. He says no. Then Rab Shimon will also say that's called the melacha tzvicha legufa. Rab Shimon only says if it's a dov she'ein b'bina nitzoid, plus you don't plan to use it. So then he holds that's called ein tzvicha legufa. But if you trap a deer or if you trap an elephant, a lot of people do trap. That's normal that people should trap it. So he says that's called the melacha tzvicha legufa. A new, totally new definition of melacha tzvicha legufa, ein tzvicha legufa. So you have to check through. He reinterprets all the Gemara. Let's say I carry something in my pocket. on Shabbos. And we usually assume on the weekdays I carry money in my pockets, carry credit cards, whatever you carry, ID, keys, whatever you carry in your pockets. So that's a melacha tzricha l'gufa on Shabbos. Let's say I leave money in my pocket, I'm not going to use the money. So I did a melacha of haitzah, but it ain't tzricha l'gufa. I don't plan to use the money on Shabbos. So going to Reb Shimon, the worst it can be is only the Rabbanah. I just didn't bother to empty out my pockets, but I'm not going to use the money. So then we always assume that that's called a melacha shem tzricha l'gufa. So he said, so the Tosha Street says that it's not correct. He thinks that that's called a melacha tzricha l'gufa because money normally is an object which is carried. So even though you personally don't plan to use the money on Shabbos, but still that's called tzricha l'gufa. So one way to be called ain't tzricha l'gufa. If I'm carrying a dead body, he says, no one ever uses a dead body. Carrying that body, I'm going to get rid of it, I'm going to dispose of it, I'm going to bury it. So that's a dava she'ein b'minoi haitzah amanas lehishta. You never use the object of the haitzah. When you carry that body, you're never going to use it in the new rishus. You're never going to use it in the old rishus. You just dispose of it. So he says, that's why there's a machlek of Shimon Rav Yehuda by carrying a dead body, amotzias hameis. But if you carry money in your pockets and you don't plan to use the money, just didn't bother to empty out your pockets. So he thinks Reb Shimon would also hold that that's called a tzvicha l'gufa. That's a new definition. The way we usually learn is that these are two unrelated issues. Like Tosfos says, melacha shein tzvicha l'gufa is one topic. Eim b'mina nitzah is another topic. This type of an animal, eim b'mina nitzah, according to half of the Tanaim, is not included in the melacha of tzvicha. The Gemara has a chiddush. As far as Netilas Neshama is concerned, so the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim on Kuf Zayin on the base. If you have a kino, which is ain't a part of a rover, then the Gemara says a machlokes hatanoim, and the accepted opinion should be that there's no issa deraisa, it's mutter to kill a kina. Mutter aloha lamaisa to kill, there's not even an issa derabbanan. So that's also a big question. What do you mean? A kina is not part of a rabbin, but it's just mishav a min ha'ipush. Is there such a thing? That's what we assume since the days of Pasteur, Louis Pasteur, that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. So doesn't it sound like that's what the Gemara is driving at? That kina, Zaina part of a rove, it's not a bera haben from the original kingdom from Sheshis Negracious, it comes Mustava Mino Ipush. So that's what the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Mishnah Torah in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He has a bit of an elaboration on it, and he says that whoever doesn't believe in spontaneous generation doesn't know the ABC of science. He insists that there is such a thing. Since the days of Louis Pasteur, we assume that there is no such thing. So there is an encyclopedia that was written by Rabbi Yitzchak Lamprenti, an Italian Talmud Chacham, several centuries ago, who writes about this topic. After Pasteur came upon this idea that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, so how do you deal with the Gemara? Should you be machmir? That now that we know otherwise, we should assume that it's also larga sakina? Or should we say, perhaps like the Chazon Ish, that they don't say such pasuk? Since in the days of the Tanaim it was assumed that it's not part of a rover, so the Dini HaTorah were nikva at that time, according to the science that they understood in their generation, that if there's no one, that the Chazon Ish is angle. The others didn't come up with such an angle. So others said, maybe we have to reject Louis Pasteur's Chiddush. Maybe we have to assume that he made a mistake. Or should we reject the Din of the Gemara? Or should we reinterpret the Gemara? Should we say when the Gemara says it's not part of a rove, it meant it's not part of a rove in a normal fashion? It's an irregular kind of reproduction. So this is an ongoing debate. How to understand the Gemara? So I'll call upon him. There are those who say we should still stick to what it says in the Gemara. Either they reinterpret the Gemara, or they reject the Louis Pasteur's Chiddush, whatever. They assume that there's still mutar larga sakina b'Shabbos. On the assumption that a kina is not part of a rov, mutar larga sakina b'Shabbos, whatever that means, if you should assume that the din is still the same as man hazeh, for some reason or another, so there is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, what about regarding tzedo? Is there a malocha tzedo on kina? If kina would be yesh b'mina nitzot. If the scientists are making research on it, then we should assume the Yeshmina need to depend on our generation. It doesn't necessarily depend on the Zman HaTanoim. So what would you say? If you hold that it's not a Balchai at all, can you say that there's an Isad Seder? If you hold that it's only, it's not Purv or Rov, so therefore it doesn't count as a Chiyus. So they say it only doesn't count as a Chiyus with respect to it until it's Neshama. But it does count as a Chiyus with respect to Seder. Or you say, no, you're only in violation of Seder if it's a Balchai. What kind of a Balchai? The same kind of Balchai that one is one can possibly violate Netilas Neshama. So if a Kina is a Kina is either part of a rubber, whatever that means, and therefore there's no Isser of Netilas Neshama and a Kina, so there are those who hold that there's no Isser of Seder either and a Kina. The Gemara never says what the din is. Seida Ahariga Karamis. In which direction? In which direction?
Gemara is saying by Parash to Parah Rava. What would that mother to that?
Even though it's aimed b'minah, but it's still haibishum until it's neshama. Okay, yeah, masking. Aimed b'minah nitzah, that's a unique prata only in Hilchas Tzedah. So maybe the concept of ain't a part of a rove, maybe if something ain't a part of a rove, and therefore it's not a balchai, is that only, it's not counted as a balchai, is only with respect to the Tilas Neshama. They say it's not a Balchai with respect to all the dinim. What are all the dinim? Tzeda. Tzeda only applies to a living animal. There's no tzeda on a dead animal. Tzeda should only be on a living animal. Then there's a long place that has Aloha Lamaisa. A discussion of the din, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says later on Masechus Shabbos and in Masechus Beitza, there is a din: are you permitted to feed an animal on Shabbos and Yom? So part of the story is it depends whether mizanisem alecha or mizanisem alecha. Is this my responsibility? In other words, is this my pet that I have around the house? And if I don't give it any food, it's going to go hungry today on Shabbos. So it's mizanisem alecha. If I have a farm. If I have a farm, so the cow's on the farm, it's my responsibility. Whatever animals I have on the farm, the dog's on the farm, it's my responsibility that my animals have to see to it that they get food. Then it's mutter to feed the animal. But if it's emzain and same alecha, then you have no heter to feed the animal. So this issue was brought up in Shulchan Aruch with respect to, there was a minhag for many years in our Shabbos Shira, that people would give challah crumbs to the birds to eat, because they're not going to speak from the kapes charkol beria. What reward do the birds deserve on Shabbos Parshas Shira? Because it says in Parshas B'Shalach that they were told that the man would not, Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael in the rule that he was given that the man will not come down on Shabbos. They should collect the man on Erev Shabbos. But on Shabbos the man will not come down. And then it says, Vayetza menam lilkot v'lo motzo. Some of the people went to gather in some man and they couldn't find any man. V'lo motzo. So it sounds strange. V'lo motzo. Of course they're not going to find any man. It says the man didn't come down. So what kind of a lashon is that v'lo motzo? So that's why Rashi quotes in the Medrash, because they wanted to show that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what he was talking about. Moshe Rabbeinu was a faker, a liar. He didn't have a nevuah, so they took the man that was left over from Erev Shabbos and they put it, they snuck out into the midbar and they hid the man in the midbar and the next day, Shabbos morning, they hid the man on Friday night. Then they were going to go Shabbos morning and show everybody, look, we found the man. So what happened was that the birds came along and they nibbled on the man and they ate everything up. So it turned out that the birds protected the reliability or the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, because if these fakers would have showed that they, if they would have demonstrated that they gathered in some man, so the people would say, look, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what he's talking about. The predicted man will not come down here, obviously did come down. So we have to reward the birds don't know if the birds understood what they were doing. They didn't understand. Whatever it is, even if they didn't understand, they deserve a reward as well. Even if the bird doesn't have enough seichel to understand that by its eating up the man, they saved Moshe Rabbeinu humiliation and they saved the whole issue of Emunas Chachamim, that the people would say Moshe Rabbeinu maybe is a liar. So that's why the minhag developed that we give a reward to the birds. And the reward used to consist of this minhag that on Shabbos Shira they would give crumbs to the birds to eat. So the Magen Avraham complains, he thinks that it's not proper. Because the birds come in, they fly in Menah Efker. That same is in the same Alecha. And the Gemara has a halacha, ain't less than the same is in. If it's same is in the same Alecha, then you're not allowed to give, the animals Mezainas to eat. The others are Miyashiv the Minigan, they say, because in the Chsidish is on, they say, since Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Schar Kol Berio, so we owe it to the birds. We should sense a debt of gratitude. So therefore it's considered Mezainasei Malecha. So this Shabbos, for Shabbos B'Shalach, it's called Mezainasei Malecha. The Fiyah Minig, it's called Mezainasei Malecha. So that's enough to be Mater and Issa, the Rabbana. That's what some say. And Magan Avraham holds that it's not enough. There was another issue. It says when they, it says in the Maharil, when they used to go to the river, the people, for Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, so some people would carry crumbs in their pockets, and they would throw the crumbs into the fish. So the Maharil complains, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Maharil has two tainus against this. Number one, he says, is that usually it's going to be chutz la'erev. You have an erev in the whole city, but then when you reach the river, so the river is not included in the erev. So it turns out that the people were carrying chutz la'erev on behalf of animals. So the halacha says, you're not allowed to. Machlokes is hatanan, we pass on lachem v'lo leklovim. You're not permitted to do mloch on yontiv on behalf of the behemoth, that the behemoth should be nana from. It's only on behalf of human beings who observe yontiv. So there was one objection, that the people would carry the crumbs of bread chutz la'erev on behalf of the fish to eat, and that's a violation of mloch on yontiv lachem v'lo leklovim. And then the Maril has the other argument that the fish that are swimming in the river are not mezainasei malecha. And the halacha says whenever it's mezainasei malecha, then you're not permitted to feed the animals, period. Yeah. So these are the two tainas that the Maril has. First of all, that they were carrying the breadcrumb chutz la'erev, and to carry on yontes for the tzorach al-chanesh, abbehem is not allowed. And the second taina is that you're not allowed to feed an animal, which all the animals are mukta. Unless it's mezainasei malecha. Here it's not. The fish that are swimming in the river are not my responsibility. So Tosfos raises the issue, what Rashi and Tosfos raises the question, what's the nature of this prohibition? Why is it also to feed an animal if it's not mezainasei malecha? So Rashi says, you're not allowed to be matriach on behalf of something which is mukta. Since the animals Amukta. So I'm going to handle the food in order to put in front of my animal, that my animal should be able to eat it on Yom Tov. So that's one interpretation in the Gemara, that the reason why it's usher. And again, the reason why it's also in Esmel, if name is Enes, because you're not allowed to be matriach to prepare food on behalf of an animal which itself is muktzah. So what's the issa? It's an issa. Tilta muktzah if the thing is muktzah. Rabbi Yitzchak has a shita which was rejected. If you have an egg, a beitish, and all the bishabbos, and you want to protect it, you're afraid people are going to trample on it, the chickens are going to jump on it, they're going to smash the egg. So I want to take a kli and put it upside down on top of the egg to protect the egg. Rabbi Yitzchak is of the opinion that you're not allowed to do that. Enkli nital alalatzorach dovra nital. You're not allowed to handle a kli. There's a mitzvah tiltul kel. You're not allowed to handle a kli if you're going to use it in order to protect a dvar mitzvah. But we don't pass on that. So what is a mitzvah called? Something like a basis l'dover ha'asa. Something like basis is if it's on the bottom and you have muktzah on top. So you're not allowed to put something over here knowing in advance. Let's say I'm going to put a plate under the wax which is dripping from the candles. I'll put, let's say, a napkin. I don't want the wax to drip on the tablecloth, so I'll take a napkin. I'll put the napkin right next to the candle, so when it drips, the dripping wax will fall on the napkin. So the pashtus and the gemara, you're not allowed to do that, because the napkin was a klusha malachta leheter. You can wipe your face with it. I had a heter tiltul. And now that I put it under the wax, and the wax is going to drip down on it, so I make it into a basis from davahasa, bas davahasa. I just converted it into muksa. So that you're not allowed to do. To put something under the dvar muksa that's mevatel kli mechana, that the gemara says you're not allowed to do. That's the question. Why not? Rashi and Tosis have two pshatim. Is that because it's bona? Is that because it's soser? It's considered that the napkin that I put under the wax that's dripping will now become a basis davar hasa, and it will be forbidden for me to handle that wax, that waxed up napkin. I won't be able to use that napkin the whole Shabbos. So you could say that this is soser. It's considered as if he's ruining the napkin, the paper napkin that has the wax on top of it. Or you could say that it's considered bona. That's how Rashi says. Kilo chibro bitit, as if he had attached the napkin to that spot. Normally when you have a box full of napkins, so you can move it around wherever you want. And now that it became one of the napkins, I left right next to the wax, and the wax falls on it, so I just made it into a bus of double horses, and I can't move it at all. So Rashi writes in one place that domele bona. That's considered a form of bona. One place, Rashi writes that it's domele le'soser. It's considered as if I broke the kli, because I had a kli that I had the ability to use, and I can't use it. I just made it into a basa davarasa. So one place, Rashi writes that it's soser a kli. One place, he writes that it's bona. It's if chibro betit. In that location. So that's if you put the kli under the dvar muksa. What if you put a kli on top of a dvar muksa? So that was machleg zav Yitzchok nachachamim. And we paskin against Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak is the one who says in Perikir, ain't kli nital, elu l'sarach dov ram nikti. You're not allowed to handle something if the purpose of handling it is in order to protect the dvar mukta. So that was Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion, and that was rejected. So that was over here. The Rashi sounds like he's saying something along the lines of Rabbi Yitzchak.
Pet is also mukta. Your own pet. Nevertheless,
it's mukta. Mukta to do what?
To feed it,
yeah. If it's mizanasei malacha, then you have a hefer. Yeah, mizanasei malacha is a hefer. But if it's same mizanasei malacha, so what's the issue? Why is it awesome? So Rashi says because the animal is muktzah, so you're not allowed to be matriach to handle anything on behalf of the animal. So that's a pella. Why? That was Rabbi Yitzchok. So along the lines of Rabbi Yitzchok's name, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yitzchok. We paskin that it's only also to put a kli under the dvar muktzah, to be mevatel kli mechana, but to put the kli on top of the dvar muktzah to protect it, that people and animals shouldn't jump on the egg or shouldn't jump on this on the muktzah dika item. So we assume that is permissible. So the Rashi is not really so well understood. The Tosfos seems to have a different interpretation. Why is it also to feed an animal which is amazon and say malacha? What do I care? The animal is mukta, so what? So you're not allowed to protect it by mukta. You're not allowed to give the mukta tika animal food to eat that it'll live longer. So Taisus sounds like they understand. And Nesim Lefnei Mizana says, Xer Hashem Yotzu. We're afraid that a person may get carried away if he gets and do tzeda on Shabbos. So we say not only is it not permissible men atar to do tzeda, you're not even permitted to take some of the You're not even permitted to give food to such an animal, Xerishem Ayotzi. That's what Tosha says. There would be two cases that where it's mutter to feed an animal. One case would be if Mizonisem Alecha, that's the Gemara. Then there'll be another case. If you have an animal where there's no Issa Tzeda Deraisa, the whole prohibition of Tzeda is only with the Rabbanan, then you would be permitted to feed such an animal. Because we're going to make Xer the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to feed such an animal, unless you'll do a Tzeda on it. So does the Chagzera look there? Even if you do the Seder, it'll only be the Rabbanim. So you tell me I'm not even allowed to feed the animal because I may forget to do it Seder on them. The whole Seder is only the Rabbanim.
Is that a specific person? What does it mean? In other words,
a Let's say this is a farm animal. I have cows, and we miss the cows and so on. So somebody on the farm has to feed the animals.
Even if they're not good. Even if they're not the person to feed.
Yeah, not only the owner of the base. Yeah. You have a farm, and some people on the farm own the farm, and others work on the farm. So
if they don't, let's say you have a dog at farm. No, and you leave the dog with somebody, it's not his dog. The dog has to be fed.
Yeah, so that's the responsibility. Whoever is responsible for that animal is permitted to feed it on Shabbos. Yes. If I'm not mistaken, in the first edition of the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chatzis, he doesn't have any dinim at all about animals. Obviously, he doesn't have any pets, and he lives in the city. So he doesn't have any dinim for farms, so they sent him in letters to the editor. Are you talking? Well, in the second edition, he has already dinim about those who live on farms, and they have to deal with animals, and those who have pets in the city. Just because he doesn't have, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Other animals. There is a.
You consider the fact that a child will play with a pet, you consider that. And catch up with the child
with the dog. The Maracha Zaruah has a tshuva where he quotes a machloikis harishonim regarding a pet, whether it's mukta or not. The Gemara says the balechaim are mukta. So some Rishonim suggested that if you're miyachid, there are dinim like this. If you, let's say you have money, so the money is mukta, so you put the money into a shoe and you make it part of a design on a shoe. So just like the shoe is a kli, it's not mukta, so the money that's part of a design. Now let's say some people have a necklace and they have a coin on the necklace as part of the fancy design in the necklace. So that you just made a kli. He just made a trinket out of the coin, so it's no longer going to be mukta. So whenever you have a dvar mukta, which you're mazmin for some, there are two dinim. The Ramban and the Muhammad point says there are two dinim. Let's say you have her evin shebikirviyo. I have a big stone. So it's my bana the offer a mukta. So I attach this stone to a bucket, so the bucket won't always float on top of the water. The heavy stone will cause the bucket to go down below the surface of the water, so it will enable you to draw water. Because if you don't have a stone to weigh down the bucket, so the bucket is always going to float on top of the water, you'll never be able to draw out water from a well. So the Mishnah says, heaven should be cured of you, so it's not considered moved. So why not? So there we understand why. Because he tied the heaven onto the bucket, to the wooden bucket, the kirviya, and he made it part of the kli, or the fellow who has the coin and he attached it to the necklace or he attached it to his shoes, so he made it part of the kli, so the whole thing is non-mukta. Then the Ramban says there's another din. Let's say there's a bris on Shabbos, it says in Shulchan Aruch there's a bris on Shabbos, so the moel should be mazmin the offer in advance to be matmin the orla offer. So what happens after you're mazmin the offer in advance, so it's no longer mukta? Why it's not considered offer anymore? No, it is considered offer. If it weren't considered offer, you wouldn't be in fulfillment of the minig. The minig is to be matman the oil of offer. That means that there is offer. So what is the hazmana help? In Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Gaon, and they have to be mazman in advance. So that's what the Ramban writes in the Mochamis, that there are two types of hazmanas, and each one accomplishes something different. When you tie on the oven to the bucket, or you put in the penny into the pair of shoes, it becomes part of the kli. The eben becomes part of the kli, and the coin becomes part of the shoe, and it's no longer mukta, period. If you have offer, which you want to be matman and orla offer on Shabbos after the bris is over, or let's say you have stones which you want to throw onto the cars on Machal Shabbos, you mazman the stones, so the stones remain stones. It doesn't become ois stones. It remains mukta, but he said that's a separate din, that's a different din. That if you're mazmin mukta for hishtamshus on Shabbos, you have a head to tiltel for that hishtamshus, for any other hishtamshus that's equally important or more important. But if your other hishtamshus is something which is less significant than that hishtamshus for which it was muzmon, for which it was nisyached, then the Ramban shows from the Gemara that you have no head to tiltel, because it didn't really change in its nature to become a kli. It's still offered. The thing is still mukta. It's just that you have a het and tiltel for that ishtamshus. It's a different part. So the, again, so the Maracha Zerua has a machlokes harishon regarding pets. What I'm mazmin the pet, I want to play with this pet on Shabbos. What are you going to say? It becomes ois balchai. It's a balchai. And the Tanoi made it there. Drabal name is tamshim balchai. If it's name is tamshim, so the mele, the thing becomes muktzah. It's not that balchai are automatically muktzah. A balchai because there's a zera also the shtamish be balchai. So all balichayim are objects which don't have any hishtamshes on Shabbos. It doesn't have hishtamshes, then it becomes muktzah. So how does it become ois muktzah? Because I plan to play with the balchay, but it's a bottom line, it still is a balchay. It should still be muktzah. Still there's a din of also the hishtamsh for balichayim. So the Maharaj HaZura quotes a machloikis, and he quotes by name some balatesis, not the Riyah, the Rabbi Tam, not a famous balatesis. Rabbi Yosef. That what? That since you plan to play with this pet on Shabbos, so that removes the status of muktzah. According to the rules and regulations of the Ramban, it shouldn't work because you didn't change anything. You didn't tie up the balchai to a bucket. It's not bottled to anything else. It remains the same balchai that it was before. The only thing is that I plan to play with it on Shabbos, so I should say it remains muktzah. The most he can say is that I have a heta tiltel for that particular purpose. Is that what he says? Is that what he means? That it remains muktzah and you have a het to tiltel for that purpose that you were mazmin in. Maybe that's what he means. But then it doesn't matter what he means, because the Maharaj HaZura claims that the majority of the Rishonim didn't agree with him halacha l'maaseh. So the Pashtus I thought was that it was assumed that it does remain muktzah. I don't know, in the Shmir Shabbos course, they quote those who don't, contemporary poskim, who say that it's not muktzah. They say like this, Rabbi Yosef.
The last volume of Ramesh says there, the he doesn't write it. The original truth is not there. Rabbi Tam was telling the ear that Moshe held that the pet is not muktzah.
Mm.
It's not in the original truth at the bottom. Rabbi Tam said he had it.
Okay.
Was it the, because of the fact that this balachai is trapped as opposed to regular balachai, that's not going to change its status? That
because it's trapped?
Because it's
trapped. There's no reason to say that. A domesticated animal. Yeah, so it's nitzah the yarmit, so there's no reason to say that. But that's not why they declared that it should be muktzah.
No, but you said that there had to be some change in the muktzah. The dirt has to be designated somehow for use.
Right.
So the fact that it's trapped, and when it was trapped,
maybe that's a change. Could be. I don't know.
Have you pointed on Mohammed's machshava alone never helped?
I don't remember. You have to take a look. But machshava won't make it into a non-muktzah. The maximum machshava can accomplish is that you designate it for this ishtamshah, so therefore it has a heta tiltel for that ishtamshah. But machshava alone is not allowed to make it into a non-muktzah. For the second din, Muhammad says there are two dinim, one din that it becomes part of the kli, one din it remains muktzah, but as I had the tiltul, but that is tamshis are equally important, the more important is tamshis, and so that maybe designating would be enough. Maybe machshava would be enough. But it will still remain muktzah. You just have a head to tiltul for that purpose. So Rebbe Akiva Eger in Shulchan Aruch points out that there is a machlokes between the Taz and the Magen Avraham, what he calls sofik psikration. It's an interesting question. What do you mean sofik psikration? Sofik psikration is what we always call a davar sheino miskaven. A person does a pu'ula hamoteris, which may or may not result in a pu'ula hasura. So that's called davar sheino miskaven machlokes Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. We passed that it's mutter. The only time moider Rav Shimon. That davar sheino miskaven is also if it's a secretion, if it's a badois, that A, I'm doing A, which is a pula hamateris, and it bavadai will lead to B. But if I'm doing A and it's not clear that it's going to lead to B, you can't say Safik Psikresha, Safik Daraisa Lechumra. Safik Daraisa Lechumra. Because if it would have been a Psikresha, it would have been an Issa Daraisa. And now that it's a Safik Psikresha, that's the Kasha that the Chazanish talks about. Why shouldn't every Dovish Enim is Kav B'Yosa because of Safik Daraisa Lechumra? So whatever the Hezbollah is, it's not so. The din is that Dovish Enim is Kav B'Yosa Mutter. You don't say Safik Daraisa Lechumra. So how can it be a machlekes regarding how can the machlekes the tzadik and the magen Avraham regarding sofik segregation? So they explain what they're talking about. Sofik segregation means it's a sofik l'sha'ovar. You're not sure what the facts are. I have a little drawer, and I want to close the drawer. Okay, so whatever happened in the drawer, I have forks and knives in the drawer. I'm not sure. Maybe a bug just got caught in the drawers. If a bug is not running around in the drawer, a fly or something, by my closing the drawer, I am causing that animal to become nitzog. And if there is no balchai that's trapped in the drawer, then by closing the drawer, there's no active tzeda. So true, if you know bevadoi that there is an animal that's trapped inside, by closing the drawer, you're doing tzeda. So these achreidim are assuming that that's vadayosa. That point itself was the machloikas. That was the machloikas between the three shittas. That was the machloikas, the Rashba and the Ran. That the Rashba said, based on the Mishnah, and he quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, who commenting on the Mishnah like that. The Mishnah says, Olamazadayma, if a person is noil as Beisel Lishomra, a person locks the door in order to protect all of his all the property that he has in his apartment. It turns out that an animal just got caught in his apartment by closing the door. So the Mishnah says that that's potter, and the Gemara understands that that's potter or muta. The three cases where potter does not mean potter avalosa, I mean potter means potter or muta. So noel is based on v'nim tzvi shama betocha, that's potter or muta. So what exactly is the case that's potter or muta? So the Rashba quotes a Yerushalmi, noel is based on the shamro. His main intention by locking the door is to protect all of his property in the house, that Ganom shouldn't come and steal it. But as a secondary intention, now that he knows that a Tzvi is getting caught by his closing the door, his closing the window, he's causing an animal to get trapped, so he's happy about that also. He wouldn't go out of his way to go trap any animals. That he's not interested in going to trap. But now that he knows that an animal is getting trapped, And he locks the door, so he's happy about that too. So he has that in mind also as a secondary intention. So the Rashba quotes Yerushalmi that too is mutter. Mamish adava hamskamen is mutter. So the Ran quotes the Rashba. He says that's impossible. Mamish adava hamskamen. Of course it's also. How can the Rashba quote Yerushalmi say that it's mutter? That doesn't make any sense. How could the Rashba say in the name of the Yerushalmi that such a thing as mutter? Mamish amalacha derais. So you have to say a svara lochera. You have to say a svara that what's happening over here is something very unusual. He does a pu'ula on the window, he's locking the door, locking the window, and this causes a malacha to be accomplished on the animal. His activity is on one thing, and the malacha occurs on a different thing. You lock the door, and the animal becomes nitza. So that's a chiddush in the Mishnah that if you're miskaven for that, that constitutes a malacha derai. So let's say the fellow opens up the window in order that the flower pot that's growing near the window should get fresh air and sunshine and should grow better. So that's not allowed on Shabbos. You're not allowed to open up the window if that's your intention. So that's a chiddush, that's not allowed. To say that itself is a chiddush. I'm doing a pehula on the window, but it accomplishes now that the air, the fresh air is going to come, or the sun is going to shine on the plant, so the plant is going to grow better. So that itself is a chiddush, that the Mishnah tells me a pu'ula on one thing that has an effect on a different thing constitutes a malacha deraisa. So on that, the Rashba quotes in the name of the Yerushalmi, Bamedvar Mamurim, that's only if that's my ikir intention. My main kavana by doing this pu'ula, by closing the window, by opening the window, whatever it is that he's doing, is that the fresh air and the sunshine should cause the plant to grow. Or that the animal should get trapped, but if his main intention is a different thing, and this is also a secondary intention, so then the Rashba holds that then the pula that he does on the window doesn't relate to the animal, and that's not a violation of a malacha. That's a chiddush. So the Ran disagrees with that. Rashba b'shem Rashi says it absolutely doesn't make any sense whatsoever. What do you mean? The guy's mamish miskaving. he wants to trap the animal because it's only his secondary intention, is not his ikar kavana. So therefore we say that it's not a violation of a malacha of tzeda. So the Ran says that does make any sense. Taka, we are machma like the Ran. We don't allow this this kula, this wap rubber kula that the Rashba quoted in the Talmud Yerushalmi. But then the Ran goes to the opposite extreme. The Ran says, not only is it clearly forbidden to close the door, if you have that in mind also, that I'm trapping the deer, even if you couldn't care less, one way or the other, it's a secretion de lo nichalei. But it is a secretion. He knows that by closing the door, his only interest in closing the door is to protect his property. This wild animal that came in, he wishes it would not have come in. He's not interested. He's going to call up some association after Abdullah to get the animal out of his house. He doesn't want this animal in the house. He's not happy that he got Nitzah, but nonetheless, at the time that he's locking the doors to protect his property from the Ganavim, he knows the Vadois that he's trapping the animal. He's just not interested in using the animal. So that would be a psikresh la nichale. And we would say that that's not allowed. Every psikresh la nichale, the worst it can be, is ain't tzvichal gufa. So we would say it's not allowed with the Rabban. According to the Yoruch, it would even be permitted halacha lamais, psikresh la nichale. So the Ran disagrees menachot alakot with the Rashba. He says that even if you are not interested at all in trapping the animal, since you know in advance that the animal is going to get caught, so that's a psikreshe, and that it is usher. So on the assumption, like the Ran, that a psikreshe is usher, knows based on the shomer of nimtzah tzvit shomer b'tocho, so that's the machlek is the taz and the magen avram. But if the person is closing the drawer, is closing something, and he knows in advance that if there is an animal there, then it's going to get caught. And if there's no animal, not going to get caught. He just doesn't know whether there is an animal or not. So it's a sofek l'sha'ovar. He's not sure what the facts of the case are, but if the facts are in one direction, then it'll be a psikreshah. So then this is what's called the sofek psikreshah. And that's a machloek yisachrenim, whether it's sofek psikreshah, whether you say sofek deraisa l'chumra, Maybe it's a psikreshe, therefore it's also. But he say no. Sufik psikreshe is called dovashen miskavim. Not only if the sufik is lahabo, I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. Even if the sufik is on the facts of the present, I'm not sure whether there is an animal that got trapped in the drawer. But if there is an animal, then by closing the drawer, then I'm trapping that animal. So that case, the sufik, the shavar, that's the machleg, is the taz and the magen avron. The sufik psikreshe the shavar. Safik the Shavra, but Psikreshe, whether you call that Safik the Raisa Luchumra or not. The Rambad himself writes Lahokil, the Mishnah Brewer in the Bir Alocha, when he quotes this Machloik is the Magen Avram in the Taz, the Mishnah Brewer quotes that the Ramban writes Lahokil and Perikira. The Gemara talks about a person emptying out all the water from the kettle. And then putting in ice cold water into the kettle. So the Gemara talks about the possibility of Metzaref. What was Metzaref? Originally, this kettle was burning hot. It was sitting on top of the fire. So it had burning hot water in it. So it's burning hot. When you empty out all the water, then you're going to put in cold water. So there is a possibility that may cause tzirif. That may or may not cause tzirif. So the Gemara considers that dova she'enu miskaven and daf mem aleph and base to pour in ice cold water mecham shapinehu. If you pour out all the water in the mecham from the samovar, from the kettle, and then you pour in the cold water, so that's a dova she'enu miskaven of mitzaren. So the Rishonim ask a kasha: why is a dova she'enu miskaven? Why is not a psikreshe? So Taisa says that you have to have a lot of conditions met that it should be a psikreshe. And the fellow who's doing it, the fellow who's emptying out the burning hot water and is pouring in the cold water, he himself doesn't really know. There are a lot of factors involved, chemical factors involved. Now he himself is unable to guess in advance whether it's going to be a vadois, whether it's going to accomplish the tzirof or not. So that's why the Gemara considers the dov she'enu miskaven. The Ramban in the Melchamas on that Tesis question, on Mem Aleph on the base, the Tesis asks, why is this considered Dov Sheni Miskam? Why isn't it a Psik Reshe? The Tesis says, because it always doesn't always work. Just because you have a burning hot kettle, you put it in ice cold water, it doesn't always accomplish tzif. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Depends on various factors. It has to do with chemical in the stomach, chemical reactions. So the Ramban gives a different answer from Tosis, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes for Halacha. In the Bir Halacha, the Ramban says, maybe somebody in the factory where they manufactured this kettle, maybe somebody had previously done the act of tzirif to it. You can't tell by looking at the kettle, by looking at the metal. A layman can't tell by the naked eye, I guess, whether it had tzirif or not. But the Ramban says that even though it's a suffix, maybe it had tzirif, maybe it didn't have tzirif, Sof Kol Savi says that's called a suffix psikresha, even though if the fact is that it didn't yet have tzirif, then it's going to be a psikresha of mitzaris. So he holds that a suffix psikresha is equivalent of a dov sheni miskaven, and we pass like Reb Shimon, that's mutter. So that's what the Melamed Lehoil has an essay about this. What's it in about suffix psikresha? So he's not embarrassed. He doesn't always go back to the earliest source, like when Rav Moshe Feinstein writes a tshuva. So he goes, it says in the Chumash, and it says in the Mishnah, and it says in the Gemara, it says in the Tosfos, and the Rambam. He starts from the beginning, he goes to the end. And the Hungarian and the Polish Achrayim, they look the last achrayim. They look the last sefer who talks about such a similar topic. And then Mendam and Milsa the Milsa. But in this case that we're discussing is more similar to this case that this achrayim spoke about. Or more similar to that case, that instead of developing the whole, like Rav Moshe will do, like that's the Litvisha stuff, Litvisha yeshivas, instead of developing the whole topic from the foundation, building up the whole theme from the bottom up, so they'll just go to the last achron. What does it say in Psak Halacha? And to be medama milsa the milsa, whether the case at hand is more similar to this or to that. Shalom aleichem.
I come from time to time to the prayer of Shiurim, and especially when I think it's a matter of great significance or signifies advance of a very important nature, which you may not feel, and I think that I feel it perhaps a little more profoundly than others. Several weeks ago, some of your chaverim from Tamim Yeshiva came to me and said that they have an idea, they want to share an idea with me, and they felt very strong about it, they were very passionate about it, and the idea was called Ben HaSinestri. They look that the image of speech of Ben HaSinestri means a lot. First of all, they didn't say it was Ben HaSmanin, they said it was Ben HaSinestri, and of course you said Ben HaSinestri, no other yeshiva in the world could you use the term Ben HaSinestri, because they wouldn't even know what the word semester means. And yet when they said Ben HaSinestri, they said it's not Ben HaSmanin, because really this is now the time of Ben HaSmanin. You have Ben HaSmanin, maybe you go to Nissan, and then you have Pesach, and then maybe Sukkot, but it's not really a Ben HaSmanin over here. And whatever I'm going to tell you now, I come full knowledge that although we want to be, and we are, Baruch Hashem, our base medrash throbs with learning, with mother, and with passion, actually, when you come here even in the evening, you'll see it even more than. And I understand the tremendous burden of coming here, where it represents. The yeshiva aspires to be like every other yeshiva, and the boys internally feel that they have to learn and have to do as much as they can. They come here and they stay at 10, 11, 12, whatever it is, whatever they have an opportunity. At the same time, they're also carrying another burden, the burden of college. I'm talking essentially to the Meiji Yeshiva, where the REITs, of course, is on all the time. And the college gets harder. And, of course, you have your vocations in front of you. Some of you, I hope that many of you, most of you, will remain in learning. But sometimes you don't know that. You know, you say, well, I'm thinking of becoming a great lawyer, a great physicist, or whatever the aspiration is at the moment you come here. And then at that moment, and then if you get an A minus Rachmana Litzlan in the finals, the world comes to an end. And that pressure is not an easy pressure. So you have 2 weeks to go, so you go up to the New Hampshire, and you want to break your leg Rachmana Litzlan as you come skiing down. That makes sense. And then you go to Florida, Some of you work harder. But there are others, Baruch Hashem, more and more have been going. I went to Baltimore, and Eretz Yisrael, and we had 20 Bachram, 20 Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael this year. We had many boys went to Eretz Yisrael, to Vietnam. And but in the yeshiva, the boys in the Mesa Yeshiva program felt they were off because they counted their time until January 8th when we had the final examination. I think that's when it's completed, January 9th, I'm not sure when. And then the newsman begins January 26th, so from January 8th to January 6th, you can do whatever you want to do. And that's a problem. So when these boys came to me and told me about Dennis and Esther, and I want you to know what we did, we took it on very grandly, in a sense, and we spoke to President Joel. He understood also the importance, and the fact I want to tell you is that you'll have meals. All the meals will be paid. Will you be getting money, or the meals will be paid by the yeshiva for you for those 2 weeks? And that's a very big expense, because we really have about 45 to 50 boys and told them and signed up already. So you have that many signed up, just figure out what the meals are. The 2 meals a day we'll be giving you for the yeshiva. That's something, that's a very big investment that we're doing. Otherwise, during the course of the year, you use your meal card in order to get a meal. And we know that it doesn't hold, the cafeteria is going to be closed then. So they're prepared to bring food here. You're going to be all eating together. It's going to be something else entirely. And I just would begin to think, what is this Ben HaSemester? Why is it so important to us? And it really excited me very much, particularly this week. And I want to just tell you several things. You know, the concept of Ben HaSemester, this interregnum, this interval between one and another, between one term and another term, between one civilization and another civilization, is the case they see. I found it twice in the Parsha of Vayechi, actually once, it's not really a Parsha, it's a Parsha of Yigash, and again reiterated in another way in Shmos, which is already this week's segment. One is, in so to speak, Torah Shebaal Peh, and the other one is Torah Shebisad. The Torah Shebaal Peh is that we're told, Kol Nefesh, the Beis Yaakov, Habor, Mitzrayimur, Shiva, that all the people, all the Jews who came to Bnei Yaakov, that came to Mitzrayim, were 7. There were really only 66 that left Eretz Yisrael. And there were 3 in Mitzrayim, Yosef and his 2 sons. So there were really 69. So the question is, what happened to the 70th? So, because Rashi mentioned it, Chazal said it, the 70 was Yochevet. And she came Ben HaChomos. That's a Ben HaSemestri. You have a Ben HaChomos. That's one, but because you're going from one civilization to another, from one country to another, suddenly, and I don't really have the pshat yet here. I don't understand it fully, but I know one thing: that there was no other mother in the history of the Jewish people as great as Yochevet. Gave us Moshe Rabbeinu. Yochevet gave us someone equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, and in many ways he was different. The Jews cried over the loss of Aaron more than they cried over the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu. She gave us Aaron, and she probably gave us the grandest lady in the whole of Jewish history. We have many, many great women. We have Nevi'ahs, we had everything. Miriam. So what did she, how come that she was there for this? Now, I really don't know the full answer to the question, but I do know one thing. She was distinguished because she was Ben HaChomos. We always remember it. There's something about Ben, there's something that in that interregnum period, she was something very important. She wasn't born yet, but she was already conceived. But something that is more down to earth. You have over here, Yisachar, Chamor, Yisachar, of course, was a big boned mule. And I don't want to use the word that you find in most of the traditions here. This is a yeshiva. Chamor Gor. And he's a partner, of course, in Zulun. Zulun was the businessman who made the money. He was to enable Yisachar to learn. But Yisachar, that's what it means. And the Rashi says right away that he was that Bnei Yisrael that carry upon them, this is Rashi, the Ol Shel Torah. They carry the Ol Shel Torah. Rovetz Ben HaMishpasayim, that's the word, Ben HaMishpasayim. What do you mean when we say Ben HaMishpasayim? So if you look in the English translation, it says between the sheepfolds. Rashi doesn't say banish Mitzrayim. He says it was banish Kumeir that he used to go Mahale Chayyim Mahale Yom Vavayla. He would walk, he would go day and night carrying this tremendous burden. Matina Molov. Oh, Kaved Mo. They put a very heavy burden on him. And he would go all around, he would go for day and night. And when he wanted to rest, he couldn't find any place, Lolan Babayas. So he had to go Robiz Mishpasayim, was a Tchume Yair. He went to the Tchume Yair. And at the Tchume Yair, he would squat, and everything was still on him, even when he stopped. And he said, Bayar Renucha Tito. And he saw it's good to rest. And then he says it was that the artist is Daimor, Bayete Shichmo Lisbo. And Rashi by Yezid Rav, to carry the old Shel Torah. So the Torah has to be carried. Yom Ha'ilah has to carry everything. Even when you're resting, that's Vayar Menucha Kito. When is Menucha Tov? When he's still carrying the old Shel Torah, Vayet Lisbo. Vayet Shichmo Lisbo. I didn't say anything. This is what Rashi says. The first question that they ask you, Kishimachlisim Adam Ladin, I'm a rabbi in Gemara in Shabbos, you're in Shabbos now. See, the first they asked me a whole series of questions. The first question, Akavati Itum the Torah. He establishes the Torah. Do you know that there's a Yerushalmi at the end of Brachas, almost the very end of Brachas, you find it also in Yatav Shemoni, that was a Pinchas and a Chilkia, the Shem Reb Simon, they said, Ha'oseh, Torah Itim? Make their briso. One who makes Torah eat him, he turns the Torah upside down. He rejects the Torah. I don't understand. He said, Akavati eat him, the Torah is very important. He makes Torah eat him, he sets aside time for Torah. He's going, what are we talking about here? But I think the answer is, the Medrash. The Gemara doesn't bring this, but Medrash Yaakov Shimoni says that it's Omer Blezit, it's like a cotton, Matino, that a Tino, Yotze Lecho, whole yom, he wants to eat the whole Kol Hayom, he wants to eat the whole day, that's the way you have to do Torah. It has to be the whole day. So it's Kavati to the Torah, you have to make sure that you have a Kavias Torah, if you have Darach Eretz, you have a lot of other things you have to do in life. So you have to make sure that no matter what we have around us, what other obligations, responsibilities we have to be Kavati to the Torah. But then to say that I'm going to learn from Jesup, because I looked at the college calendar, and the college calendar says September 1st to January, that's when I learn. And then I start again January 26th to this, but otherwise I can go to New Hampshire or Florida, wherever I'm going to go. That is, you make it only eating. If you're going to stop eating, you have to have the eating. But you can't allow the eating to become the tumim, the boundaries of learning. You have to learn beyond the boundaries too. If you have time, if you don't have time, you don't have time. The only reason you make eating is because you don't have time. So you're making time. This is what you're doing. And I want to first of all compliment the Talmidim who did it, and I know that many of the Talmidim here maybe joined him in pushing him to do his Ben on the semester. And at the same time, whatever you're doing, you have to understand that Chas v'Chalila, if somebody feels that he's breaking under the burden, and it is a very difficult burden, then he has to rest, you know, because but I don't think it really applies to many others, to most of others. You have an opportunity to join us, and we're giving you a wonderful opportunity. And mind you, we're willing to pay for your bills while you're here. This is something that never was done before in the issue. So whatever you do, but I do hope that you'll be able to come and Shem Yilav Eschem.
So we left off in the middle again. The Rebbe Kivega points out, Mishnah Berurah points out, that there is a machlokes between the Taz and Magen Avraham. If a person is closing a drawer for his own purposes, and then he is not sure whether a fly flew into that drawer. If a fly flew in already in the pair, then by closing the drawer to psikresha, then he's causing tzeda. So that's called the suffix psikresha, suffix l'sha'ovar. If the facts are such that there is a fly there, then it's a vados, then it's a psikresha. So that's not the same as a dov shenim. That's a machlokes, the Taz and Magen Avraham, whether that's a dov shenim or not.
the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, quotes the Ramban and the Mohammed of Daf Mem Aleph on the base, who's the only Rishon who takes a stand on the topics, and therefore he says you have a right to rely on the Melchambus, who says Lahokim. Tosfos says the Kasha there. Isn't it a Psik Reishe? Why does the Gemara consider the issue of Mitzarif? If you had a kettle, a Mechem Shepineh, you have a burning hot kettle with full of burning hot water, you emptied out all the water, then you put in ice cold water. So why does the Gemara call that a Dovashedim Miskavein of causing syrup? Why isn't that a Psik Reishe of causing syrup? The Tosfos says it has to be ice cold right away after burning hot. We're not sure exactly whether all of the conditions will be met. And the Ramban says we're not sure, maybe the metal already has syrup in the factory. Maybe it had a syrup last year, so once it already has syrup, get to another syrup. But the Ramban's reasoning why it's not a Psik Reishe is Mamish and Sofik L'Shavar. The Ramban holds the fair, so the Sofik L'Shavar takes off the status of Psik Reishe. The Sofik Psik Reishe is Mutta. You don't say Sofik Deraisa L'Chumah. That's what the Melamed Lahoyel has a tshuva. So the Melamed Lahoyel, he doesn't like to go into Pilpulim. Whenever someone already discussed the topic, he just says, look in the Mishnah Berurah, it says Lahokel. Look in the Maram Shik, it says Lahachmet. Period. He just says that one line tshuva. In fact, on this topic, he explains what the issue is, Sofik Psik Reishe. Why isn't every Sofik Psik Reishe double shed in the family? Explains that it's not the same. And then he says, look in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Bir Halacha, he quotes the Melchamas and Daf Mem Aleph on the base, and says Lahokel. That a Sofik Psik Reishe is considered a Dovashein in this covenant. It's not considered a Sofik Deraisa L'Chumah. So this whole machlok is between the Taz and the Magen Avraham. This is all on the assumption that you hold like the Ran in his disagreement, in his extreme disagreement with the Rashba. The Rashba said on the Mishnah, he quoted the Yerushalmi, Handoil is Beso, and he knows in advance that a Tzvi is caught, and he's miskavin also to catch the tzvi, even though that's mamish adav hamiskavin, since it's only a secondary intention. So the Rashba said that too is mutter. Ran said that's impossible. How can you accept such a Yerushalmi? That's impossible. It's mamish adav hamiskavin. So the Ran said not only is the Rashba not right, if he's interested in trapping the tzvi, even if he couldn't care less, but he knows that the tzvi is shama b'toch, it's a psik reshe. So it's a psik reishe la nichalai. So it's machlag is the Orach and the other Rishonim, according to most of the Rishonim, will be a nisa de Rabbana. Won't be a nisa de Raisa because it takes tzvicha l'gufa. Every case of psik reishe la nichalai is automatically going to be an ain't tzvicha l'gufa. So the worst that can become is only going to be with the Rabbana, because we hold like Rab Shimon that ain't tzvicha l'gufa is only with the Rabbana. So the Ran says he disagrees to the other extreme. He says even if you're not interested at all in trapping the deer, but you know in advance that there is a deer that's trapped, so that would be awesome in time secretion. So on the assumption that one holds like the Ran and his extreme disagreement with the Rashba, then you have this machlokes, the Taz and the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Melchamas, and that's what the Melamed Lohel quotes that Bir Halacha. He quotes that Mishnah Berurah. It must have been hot off the press. The Mishnah Berurah was probably just printed the year before or so. So he already read the whole Mishnah Berurah, and he always quotes Mishnah Berurah. They're contemporaries. Could be that he died first. I don't even know.
And this is why he calls her too, right? He may have a
situation here elsewhere. Right. That's Rabbi Kivegan, and Hilchas Bas B'Chol. Of course, this Taz in the Magen Avraham. And the Mishnah Berurah says Lahakil, so it should be Lahakil and call it Terkula. Many Paskim say that they don't think we Paskin like the Ran. They're prepared to Paskin like the compromise of the Shulti Giborim on the side of the Rif, who says he doesn't think we can go along with the Rashba's Yerushalmi. That's too much to say that even if he's intending to trap the deer, since it's only a secondary intention, so that's not called a Malacha, that's too wild. But to go all the way to the extreme that the Ran said, that even if you're not interested in trapping the deer at all, but you know in advance that it's getting trapped, that's a psik reishe. So the Shulti Gevurim said asvar lahakel. So the Shulti Gevurim himself gives one explanation why, and the Acharonim gave a different explanation. So the paskin lahalacha, the Shulti Gevurim velav mitaimei. So the a few Acharonim, the Shuas Yankif was a contemporary of the Chassam Sefer. He was older than the Chassam Sefer. He was originally, he was the big Pesach before the Chassam Sefer came on the scene. Now it's out of style. Nobody even looks in Shul's Yangiv anymore. It was a Din Torah years ago. someone reprinted the Yeshua's Yankis, and if they didn't bind it in time for Pesach or something, and he said that because the guy didn't bind it at the right time, so he lost thousands of dollars, he would have sold all the copies of the Sefer, and now that it wasn't bound, he wasn't able to sell it. He lost a fortune of money. So the binder said, what kind of baloney? Who's interested in buying Shulz Yankiv? Even if I would have bound it before Pesach, no one's going to buy it anyway. So they went to court. And it turned out they had expert witnesses testify that even if he would have printed the Shulz, even if he would have bound it before, no one would have been interested in buying a Shulz Yankiv. So remember, at that time, this guy was left with a few thousand copies of the Shulz Yankiv. He's selling them for next to nothing. So that's why I bought a copy for next to nothing. And it sits on my shelf. And it collects dust. Hardly anybody looks in shoes. Yeah. Anyway, but before the Chassam Sofer came on the scene, he was the big Pesach in his generation. So the Shoas Yankov has this, and Avnei Nezer has this. Avnei Nezer was in the early, probably died the early 1900s. Shoas Yankov was the early 1800s. And Rabbi Hanav Asserman, who was later, Rabbi Hanav Asserman was just killed by the Nazis, and others in between, the Shulz Yankiv, Rabbi Hanan, and others have the svar also, a new svar. That when do you say that Psik Reshe is a malacha? That if I'm handling this object, I'm doing a Pula HaMateris on this object, and then it may or may not turn out that I'm doing a Pula HaSura as well. But if I'm doing a Maise on the window, I'm closing the window. That's a. If I'm doing a pula hamuteres, so let's say it may or may not result in a pula hasura. That's dovashen miskaven. If it's a badoes, it's going to turn out to be an issa. That's called the psikresh. So when do you have this chumra that moedir rabshimim bepsikresh? That's if the maisa ha'avera is being accomplished on the same chepta which I'm handling. But if I'm handling a chepta, I'm closing the window. And my interest in closing the window is to protect all of my property. And then maybe I know in advance that there is an animal that's caught in the building, in the room. And by my locking the door and the windows, this animal gets caught. But I'm not interested in that. So then this group of Achronim hold la locha, that's not called the psikreshi. It's more than psikreshi l'anich. Psikreshi l'anich generally when machmer against the orach. Lafshit satesu that it's asana rabbana. But over here, it's bechlal, they hold that it's not called the psikreshi, because the malacha doesn't occur in the same object that he's handling. And that's what such a similar discussion that some of the recent svarim have. A fellow wants to open up the window in the summertime, because it's too hot in the room, there's no fresh air. So he wants to open up the window in order to get a little fresh air. Yeah, but he has a big plant. He has a plant growing right in front of the window. If he opens up the window, then the sun is going to shine on the plant, and the fresh air is going to hit the plant, and it's going to grow better. So if he opens up the window intending for that purpose, he wants to give fresh air, and he wants to give sunshine to the plant, in order that it should grow better, that's a dovah hamiskabik. So that's also, like, I closed the window in order to trap the animal. So the Mishnah said this chiddush, that a pu'ula on one thing that accomplishes a malacha on a different object, if that's what you're interested in accomplishing, so then it's the pool on that object relates to that. But if he doesn't care, it's not his, let's say, he's only a guest over here. He's a guest for Shabbos over here. He doesn't care whether the plant is going to grow, it's not going to grow. He's opening up the window that he should get fresh air. He wants to get a little sunshine. He doesn't care about this plant that's grown. So then these achrayim would say that would be muta, that that wouldn't constitute a psikreshi.
Sometimes he would care, sometimes he wouldn't care.
Maybe his wife cares. My wife always goes around, she waters all the plants, right. So she's very worried about that. I couldn't care less about all the plants.
Right.
It depends. Do you have this in mind as a secondary kavana? Or it's not even a secondary kavana? I couldn't care less. I'll be happy to throw out all the plants.
Close to the Torah, it's the same thing. You don't care.
Right. Since I'm not interested at all. Yeah. I'm not interested in trapping the animal, so we would say that it's bechlam mutter. The whole thing is mutter. Forget about the whole machlokes the taz with Magen Avraham, when the Mishnah Berurah quoted the Malchamis. The whole thing is not mutter. Even if you know bevadois in advance that there is a tzvi that's becoming nitzel. So the achronim were maker like the shulti gibor. That even if it is a vadek secretion, not only a sofik secretion, even a vadek secretion, since the chepter shal malacha is not in the drawer that I'm handling, the chepter shal malacha is in the animal that's getting caught. So we would pass in la locha. A lot of achronim pass in la locha that that's mutter. So he mentioned that sometime a chacham in Eretz wrote a whole essay about walking into a building, knocking on a door, when you know in advance that your face is going to appear on their TV screen inside, on their video screen inside. So if I stand in front of a mirror, that's not a problem of ksiva, that's just my reflection. If I walk away, so there's no reflection. But if I stand over here and my face appears on a video screen, so that's not the reflection. That's a stunt whereby we accomplish ksiva. It's not, maybe it's not ksav shal kayama, but l'chorah that should be ksiva. You're not writing any words, you're writing a picture. So we assume that drawing a picture is also called ksiva. So Chacham Avad Yosef said this is kosev beregel. Because when you walk in front of the TV screen, so that your face appears on them. So that's it's a little bit questionable. That's called ksiva beregel. Ksiva beregel heist if he puts a pen in between his toes, but if he walks in front of the place, he knows that whoever walks over here, his face will appear on the TV screen. So that shouldn't be considered Sefer Beregel. That's the normal way to do it. Sefer Beregel is Kalach Hayad. Why is it Kalach Hayad? It's the normal way to do it. So that's the Shaila. Is there anything wrong to have this whole system for security purposes in order that they should check to know whether it's a Ganef who's coming to the house? Or even if they have keep a record, they have the video, they keep the video for a day or for a week, whatever it is, and then they record on top of it, then they put something else on top of it. So the fellow who walks in front of the screen, he's doing a pool, he's walking over here. And then malacha occurs over there, that exiva occurs over there. A fellow walks down the street, and sometimes the lights will go on, and sometimes the lights will not go on. He doesn't know whether the lights are going to go on or not. So that's a double shame miskav. What if he knows about does? The lights are going to go on. The neighbor has his system set up in such a way that whenever I walk in the street, the lights go on. So it's usually assumed, give out. That's a psikreshe. So that you're not allowed to go. So according to this suggestion, it may be that it's not a psikreshe. If I'm interested in having the lights go on because it's dark outside, that's mamshadaba hamiskavin. Maybe you can call that a secondary kavana. Maybe according to the Rashbod, maybe Mutta, but that Rashbod Yerushalmi is not accepted l'alocha. On that issue, we accept the Ran. That if you know in advance and you're interested in, as my main intention is, I want to walk down the street, but it's also dark, so I'd be very happy if the lights would go on. So that's a Dabah Hamaskam. So we would assume, like the Ran against the Rashbod Yerushalmi, that for sure is us. But the question is, what if the guy to Psikreshi lo nichla? He really doesn't care one way or the other. He can see just as well. He doesn't need the lights to go on. The neighbor wants the lights to go on. But as far as the people are walking, they don't care. So it could well be, according to this argument, that would be mutter, that wouldn't be a psikresh. So the one who wrote this about Torah, I forgot his name. So he writes, he thinks we should be choshish for the Ran's opinion. He says that it's usher, even in the case of a psikresh lo nichale, that he doesn't want to trap the deer. He's not interested at all. He says that the Ran says that it's still awesome. Sigreshul and Yichal is awesome. But if you have a Shas HaTchat, then it's Tamach HaChem right. So he thinks it's Kedai to rely on these Gedolim, on Yeshua Yankif, with the Abnei Nezer, with Rabbi Chana Vassaman, and several other Gedolim who are Mekel in the compromise sheet over here, to say that such a case would not be considered a Sigreshul.
Why is it a
stuffing the
Rabbanon?
Why should it be the Rabbanon?
Because even if it's closed, it's
Lomifon. Uh-huh. So the worst it can be is only the Rabbanon. So why not say that it should be a stuffing the Rabbanon of Kula? That what? Yeah, we had before on the fine head. Yeah, Rashi learned that there's a difference. Rashi learned that Gemara that if Sigresha, the Loi Nichale, if he's not happy about it, then it would be Mutter. But if he doesn't care one way or the other, then it would be us. That's how Rashi wrote a nine head. And that's what Taisha says, that's against the Gemara. The Gemara says later that it's the same thing. The lanichalei, the loich b'slei is the same thing. But it's usually assumed not like that different called Rashi. Rashi himself contradicts himself on the other Gemara. Matzicha David barad the chavre, barad the lav b'day. That's a situation the loich b'slei doesn't care one way or the other. It's not that it's lanichalei to his detriment. Rashi Nein Hei says, situation is mutter if it's lanichalei. If it's detrimental to him, it's not detrimental, just if it doesn't care one way or the other, then Rashi says it will be us. We don't assume like that. We assume the gracious and the same thing. It's all the same thing.
Isn't it
Rashi
said that this is assuming according to Zoran? Zoran is a mechalik whether it's lanicha or not. Over here, it's from Minas Deraisa.
No, here, let's say if an animal is getting caught in the drawer in the box, he doesn't take care. He's not. It's going to be a melacha shein tzricha l'gufa. He doesn't need that bug or that animal, or the fly that's getting caught. So the worst it could be is only going to be at the rabbanon. So the only time the achrenim had a machlokes was if you have a suffik psikreishi l'sha'ava, maybe I should say suffik deraisa l'chumra. But if the worst it can be is an Issa de Rabbanon, then the worst he can say is Safik de Rabbanon. So Safik de Rabbanon should be Lakula. I don't know. It's a good time. You have to look again. And what's the original Machlokes Taz in the Magen Avraham? How can it be? It should be a Safik de Rabbanon Lakula. I don't know. There's something missing here.
Does he have trouble with Kalkari? So how would the Rana understand that? You know it's going to happen, but it's impossible to have a situation and you don't have to go for it to occur. So still, it's going to be a situation. How would the Rana understand that case?
The case in the Gemara E Efshar Veloikom Mechavein, that's Dovah Shein Miskavein. Dovah Shein Miskavein, you don't know whether the result will come, whether an Issa will turn out or an Issa will not turn out. But over here, the Ran's talking about a case where we know Bevadois, that a Malacha will occur. He sees that there is a deer that's getting trapped, and by his closing the window, closing the doors, not only is he protecting his property from Genevis, he's also trapping the deer, but he doesn't care about the deer. So the Ran says, what do you mean he doesn't care? So it's a psikration la nichala. So it's us. That Gemara, Yefshe v'lo kamachadim, that's by Dovshe in his cabin. He's not sure in advance whether he's doing a pula hamuteris, and it may not result in a pula ha'asura. That's called Yefshe v'lo kamachadim, and you're not sure if it's going to happen. Then it turns out that the Yisra did happen. So we say that's mutter. Dovshe in his cabin is mutter. Let's say Dovshe in his cabin is mutter. So let's say the following case. I'm going to shoot bullets across the street. May or may not kill somebody. Dov Shem is Kavan is Mutter. Is that a chelki? Dov Shem is Kavan is Mutter. Certainly not. Dov Shem is Kavan. You can't say Dov Shem is Kavan Mutter. Why? So there's a Ran in Sanhedrin, but the Ran is the Kasha, and the Pasuk in Chumash. It says, V'chiyob el reyeh ba'yar lach tavetzim. A guy goes to the forest and is chopping down wood. And then he wasn't even aware that there's anybody else there. And he's chopping the wood, and either the hatchet flies or a piece of the tree flies, and it kills someone. Mamsha misasek, legamriya misasek. So it still says that he has to run away to the Ari Mikvah. The original pasuk. So the Ran asks the kasha, why? It's mamish misasek, the whole. So the Ran answers, the whole din of Dovashen Miskavim Mutter is an extension of misasek. That's the Rav Soloveitchik said, half of the Rishonim say like that. Machlokes and Rishonim. So over here, you can't say Dovashen Miskavim is Mutter. I want to shoot bullets over here in order to practice to see how good I am. Will I be able to get to hit the tree? And I know in advance that someone may not get killed. So you say, well, Dovashen Miskavim is Mutter. You can't say that. Dovashen Miskavim is only Mutter in a case where Misasik is Mutter. But you see, by Ritzicha, that Misasik requires of you that you should go to the Ramit. We'll talk about why. So I think the Rana Sanhedrin says that by all of the Averish, Benodam Machaveiro, the Iker Avera consists of the result. The end result is that someone is dead, or the end result is that someone is Huzak. You can't say Dov Shem is Kavan Muta by Hezek either, by Choybo Bachavero. Let's say, what Rabbi Yichalap say? He's talking about ski. Yes. Let's say not ski. Let's say people are going to wrestle with each other. They're going to, what do you call that? Boxing. They're going to box with each other. So they're boxing for fun. And once in a while it happens that the guy gives him a bloody nose. Or he makes a black and blue mark on him. So you can't say Dov Shem is Kavin Mutter. Just like you don't say Dov Shem is Kavin Mutter by Ritzicha, you can't say Dov Shem is Kavin is Mutter by Choybu HaChaveri. Whenever you're dealing with an Issa, Shebenad Machaveira, it's So the Iker is the end result. So it doesn't matter. The Pula was a Pula Hamuteres, and you're not interested in bringing about the final result. Bottom line, if the final result that came out was that there was a Chavola, there was a Ritzicha, then you can't apply Misasik. So of course you can't apply Dovisheni Miskat. That's a shaila. If you have games, people are playing with each other, and sometimes the high school kids, so they throw things at each other as part of the game. So 95% of the time the other guy doesn't get hurt, and 5% of the time the other guy gets hurt, but everybody enjoys it, everybody has a good time. Yeah, but the guy, but it's also a lot of machbo biatzmo. You're not allowed to be, you can't be moichel. I'm not allowed to make a chavola myself. So it doesn't help that I'm having a good time, so therefore I give you permission to make a chavola in me. So it's not going to help to say that it's a dovish and it's kavim with the reader.
You wanted to do something else. The result was okay. And so therefore you're not, it all depends on the result.
Right.
You
know, Yezid tells the brothers, Vatem al teyotzvu, אתם חשבתם לראו אלוקים חשוב על הטוב ולמען עשו כדור, למען הציל לסתם. So he says they don't have to feel bad about it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant for Tov. So the Rechaim HaKadosh is the Kasha, but there is a Mishnah in Nazi where the Mishnah says, Mishnah is coming left of the Sar Chazir. But all of the other, the Sar Sleds are Kaparah. If a person thought that he's eating non-kosher food, then it turns out that he, by mistake, he really ate kosher food. It turns out that he didn't do it out there. So the Gemara goes out in the pasuk by Hashem Yislach Lo, that the person still needs kafar. Hashem Yislach Lo goes in the case, but again, Hashem Yislach Lo, why should Hashem forgive her? So it goes in the case a woman took a mad derish will not to eat something, and the husband was mafer than that. He had a right to be mafer. And she didn't know that the husband was mafer, and she went and she bought. She thought that she's in violation of the neder. It turned out she didn't violate anything. The husband had already been mafer in the neder. So the pasuk says that she needs kafar, Hashem Yislach Lo. So the Gemara, the Mishnah Nazir understands from that pasuk, Mishnah is Kam Lechol Besar Chazir, also all of the other Besar Tleh, Zorach Kapor. It is an Aver. So the Rechaim is Akasha. Why does Yeshu say that Avatem Al Teyotzvu Atem Chashavtem Lero Lekim Chashav Al Teyva? The Baruch Shalom intended it. It was all plain of the Baruch Shalom. Unless it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended their Bechira Chavshis. The Imams didn't have any Bechira Chavshis. But that's not what it sounds like in the Chumash. It says Atem Chashavtem Lero. You really had in mind the raw. Elokim chashov al ha'tayva. So why shouldn't you say that they still need a kapar? So that's what the Kli Chemda makes a distinction between an averish ibn adam la'mokam as opposed to an averish ibn adam la'chaver. In averish ibn adam la'mokam, if the fellow intended to do the avera, he wants to rebel against the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then the Mishnah says, Tarach kapar. The person was niskam lechol b'sar chazir. The woman thought that she's eating the food that she took a neder not to eat, so she thought she's violating a beradam lamokam. And then it turns out that it was at the gomer. There was no problem. So then you need a kapara. But an aver she beradam machaver, since the ikar of the avera is the bottom line, whether the other fellow suffered a hefset or not. See, yes, it says I didn't suffer any hefset, so you don't need any kapara. Right? That's what the Kli Chemda says. No, it's along the lines of this Siddushi Haran that the Ran and Sanhedrin writes that you can't apply the klal of misasek. That you don't need any kapar, you can't apply the klal mesasik to choivul or to mazik or to retzeach, because in bidal mahaber is the ikir depends on the bottom line. The bottom line there was a retzicha. You can't say dovshem skavin is muta. Sometimes chavol or tzorich is muta, but a person sometimes undergoes surgery. He doesn't have the full use of all the fingers or something, so he wants to get better blood circulation or whatever, so he undergoes it. That's the tzarach picking up goof is okay. Sometimes a woman has, they pierce their ears in order to hang on jewelry, in order to hang on earrings, so all the posts can point out from Mishnah is that that seems to be mutar also. It's chavod of the tzarach yipui ha-goof. Not only the tzarach picking up goof, if you want the body to function better, even if the whole body function wants to function better, so that's not an Issa Chavola by definition. A Chavola the Tzarech Yipui Haguf, to beautify the body, to have nose rings and to put earrings and whatever, so you're allowed to make a Chavola there, even though you're causing bleeding. But what about over here? Some, they want to have fun. So they play this game, and they know that 5% of the time they get black and blue marks, so you're going to say that that's Chavola the Tzarech. The Tzarech what? They can play chess. They can play basketball. They can play other sports. There are other sports that no one gets hurt. Why do they have to go skiing? Like Rabbi Halap is saying, why do they have to play dafke, this sport? The Pashtus says that it's not that. Pashtus says that it should be in this. But you can't say Dov Hashem is Gavin Mutta by Asa Lorem Lachbo B'yatsi. Unless you say also Lodam Lachbo Biyatma, that must be an Aver Shabinodam Lamokim. If it's an Aver Shabinodam Lachaver, how can it be also Lachbo Biyatma? An Aver Shabinodam Lamokim, so 95% of the time nothing's going to happen. And all the kids, they all know in advance that's going to happen. They're all very happy about this. They enjoy the game. So maybe you should say that since everybody's Michael, so the whole Aver is only Binodam Lamokim. And the Ram Lamar comes, it's a double shade in the cabin, so it's mutta. Nunu. And the Mishnah has a din of Shnaim Shasu. Shnaim Shasu applies to Tzeda. The same rules as normal. Yeah. The beginning of Shmona Shvatzim, the opening Mishnah, formulates the prohibition of Chayvel. You're not permitted to be Chayvel on Shabbos, the Behemah Chayviyot. Yeah, what's the Isser of Chavola? So we reviewed many times already the three different opinions. Rashi says that it's a Malacha of Tzoveya, quote different Pshatim from his Rabbein. Tosfos insists, they don't quote it, but the Achronim say to Yerushalmi like that in Parafagom. Tosfos says that it's because of the Pasuk Yadam Hu HaNefesh, and therefore it's an Isra of Netilas Nisham. And the Rambam holds a third shot against the Yerushalmi. Rambam holds a third shot that it's an Isra of Disha. Yeah, according to Rashi, that the Malach is Tzaveya. So Tosfos has the Kasha. There is a Gemara in Chulin, and Perek El Treifus, where the Gemara says, what if you have a Behemah, or you have a Sheretz, whatever, that doesn't have an Or, so the Dam can never get caught in between the Or and the Basra. You can never have a black and blue mark. So still it is possible to have Kabbalah. When is that? If you cut the animal skin and the bleeding and the blood comes out. So in that case, he can't say that it's Tzaveya. He didn't make any black and blue mark. So the Rashi has to agree that's another reason. Rashi's pshat, that is Tzaveya, cannot be that's the only issue that there is. And taking out blood, according to Rashi, is hetagama. There's no malach at all in taking out blood. It's not true. It's a Gemara in the Fulham. Rashi's not going to argue with the Gemara. Rashi says, if you make a black and blue mark, that's still there. And if you make an incision and the blood goes out, that's another reason. Either it's Ntilus Neshama, or it's going to be Disha, like the Rambam says. It's going to be one or the other. But Rashi doesn't argue with the Gemara in Chulam. That's the Chulam point to that. Other Rishonim quoted on the Daf over here. Some were discussing about taking blood on Shabbos. What's the nature of the Isser? He said, "There." I said, "The Rabban." Some said, "Well, according to Rashi, there's no problem." It's 100% wrong. How can they? According to Rashi, there's no problem. Rashi is not going to argue with that Gemara and Chul. That's exactly Tosfos' kasha against Rashi. That's what led Tosfos to believe that must be that it's Netilas Neshama. Where is there a topic of where does the halacha discuss or whether or is dina kibosor or is not dina kibosor? So we have in a carbon oil law there is a requirement for hefshit. When you burn the carbon oil on the mizbeach, all other carbonates, you only burn the yemurim, you only burn the chelev. The carbon oil, you burn the whole thing, but the whole thing doesn't mean that you burn the or. You have to remove the or. Because the or is not dina kibos. The halacha says you have to write sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah on or behemah tahara. You can't write on a piece of flesh. You can't take a piece of salami from a kosher animal and write a sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah. It has to be dafke or behemah tahara. Special halacha of or. Then you have a din. The sar hameis by Adam is also bahano. That's a din deraisa. It says that when Miriam died, Vatoma Shamir Vatikova Shom, and the word Shom appears also by Egla Rufa. So the Gemara learns that it's Zereshava, just like by Egla Rufa, the Egla Rufa is also Bano, because it says, Vrafu Shom is Egla Banach, Shom take for Rasa. So we see that Egla Rufa is also Bano. So to over here it says, Vatoma Shamir Vatikova Shom, that a Mace Israel is also Bano. So the Shah is, what part of the Mace Israel is also Bano? What about the or hames? The Tosfos in Chulin has two opinions. Tosfos in Chulin and Tosfos in Zochin. Tosfos has two opinions whether or hames is an issa deraisa or an issa derabbanon. So the Gemara says that there are goes a tuma midirabbanon on the or odom mase. Basar mase is metami minatera. If you have kezayis basar mase is metami minatera. Yes, if the Nazis sometimes removed or hames. So if you have skin from a human body, a dead human body, so the skin is only mitame midirabon. That's a gemara in the end of Chulin. However, I write this. So does that mean that minator the or is muta bahanor? Or not necessarily? So Tosfos has 2 days about that. Whether or ames is an isa hanor minator and isa hanor midirabon. Assume that it's only the rabon. You assume it's only the rabon. The Shaila is if you have a cornea, is the material from which the cornea is made in the human body, is that more similar to flesh or is that more similar to ore? So you have to know a little biology to know what's the difference between basar and ore, and to know, you just have to know three things, what's basar, what's ore, and what's cornea. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva that the cornea is dina ka ore. Remember, I once had over a medical student in my home for Shabbos. So I was asking him, what's the difference between or and basar? So he gave me a whole description of what it is, which was way above my head. I didn't understand one word. And then I asked him, what would you say about cornea? So he said, yeah, cornea, according to his definition of the difference in or and basar, he says cornea is or. I said, that's what Moshe Feinstein assumes also, that the cornea is nidikor. Yeah, Rav Moshe talks about this, as you should assume. If you should assume that a mace is also bahanom in a Torah, and the or a mace is only also bahanom in the Rabbanon on 2 days in Tosfos, and the Achronim assume that that's the more accepted opinion, it's only also in Rabbanon. So if you're only dealing with an Issa de Rabbanon, so then the Shaila is if you're taking out a cornea in order to give someone else the ability to see, that's like a Sakona Saver. The kuach nefesh is derech kol atar kula, has to be saving one's life. If you're just saving an aver, so the Meiri holds that sakonas aver is kol kuach nefesh, and that's not the accepted opinion. But that's only if you're interested in violating an isa deraisa. What if you just want to violate an isa derabbanan? Then we paskin in Hilchos Shabbos that sakonas aver is mater ol isurim derabbanan in Hilchos Shabbos. Mater even a mavachim derabbanan. So that's what Rav Moshe assumes over here, to restore the ability to see, or either to restore or to give a person the ability to see, even if he never had. To put a cornea into someone's eye, to take from a dead body, since the Holy Spirit is only the Rabbanon, and you're saving him the Aver, he will be able to see now. So that has the status of Sakana Saver, is Dech Holy Surim the Rabbanon. Shach is Masupik, maybe Sakana says Shach and Yoridei is Masupik, and the Simakuf and Zayim, similar about Yorig Val Yavar, maybe Sakana Sever is Mater even in Issa Deraisa. So that's what the Prima Godim is. How can it be? But it says Beferish in Hilchos Shabbos that Sakana Sever is not Mater in Issa Deraisa. How can the Shach have a Sufik? It's a one line Shach. So that's the Eglital in the Hakdom, it quotes this Prima Godim, who wants to make a distinction between Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula. That the Shach Sofik only was another Isurei Torah. Can you violate Shach Isurei Torah for the purpose of Sakana Sefer? But to violate Hilchos Shabbos, for that for sure Sakana Sefer, we don't accept the Miri Shita. We pass on the Shulchan Aruch, you have to have Sakana Sakayim. Why? So he suggests maybe Shabbos is Hukash. To call it Terakula. Maybe violating Shabbos is considered this violated call it Terakula. So the only time there would be a heta to be Mechal Shabbos would be if you have Sakonis Kol Agus. Sakonis Eva is not enough. But Shari Surim, let's say, Amei Sosabano. So you're only violating one Issa. It's not like Shabbos, Mechal Shabbos, Oivran Kol HaTerakula. So maybe then Sakonis Eva is enough to be Matur. In the Gemara, you never have any distinction between Chilul Shabbos and eating on Yom Kippur and violating and eating treifas, getting an offer from a mace, you don't find such a svara lechala. A shvera vort, just the faren for a shvera shach. So the Prima Godin came up with such a chiddush. The Pashtus says that the shach sofik is not correct. Pashtus says that Sakana Sevi should not be matur and kol tarbu, just like it's not matur and Shabbos. How can we invent a whole new theory without any sources in the Gemara? Anyway, these are the different areas where the halacha distinguishes between or and basa. For tumah purposes, the Gemara says beferish that the or ha'odim is not mitame mederai. So there are behemoths also. Some parts of the or of kibasa and some parts of the or is not kibasa. Not all of the or is so hard that it should be separate or a cholok mitzorah. What's the story? Can you write there? It's filling the zoos on chicken skin? Or can you write it on fish skin? It can't be or behemoth tmeya. Because the pasuk lamantia tersa shem eficha min amuta beficha. So we're talking about from a kosher fish or from a kosher bird. So what's the issue? So the Gemara says regarding chicken, regarding or ha'of, shadows that it has the locations where the feathers come out, so they're going to be whole. So you cannot write on top of a hole because that's not going to be mukav gril. So the Gemara says that's not really a problem because kol nekev shadyo veris aloh vein on nekev. So the halacha says you can write on or of tohor, you can write. The shadow is what about or dag tohor? Maybe nafish duhama, maybe it has so much duhama. So it's not right, it's most. The Gemara has a lotion. We have to ask Eliyahu Navi. What do we have to ask Eliyahu Navi? What the paska zuhamamine? By the tanning process, by converting the skin of the fish into a piece of parchment. So does it really succeed in removing all the zuhama? So therefore, it's the same as parchment from an animal. Or should we assume that it has so much zuhama, even the chemical process of the tanning in is not going to help? So Gemara says, you got to ask Eliyahu HaNavi. What is Eliyahu HaNavi, an expert? Eliyahu HaNavi is the expert on the fish? Is he an ichthyologist? What is Eliyahu HaNavi coming to Paskin Shabbos? That's strange. The Mishnah says, Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to Paskin on Shabbos. He's going to just make peace in the world. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards fellow men. What's up? So Gemara has a strange lashon of it. You have to ask Eliyahu HaNavi with a pas to zuhama. Okay, we shall stop here.